Good morning. Thank you, Rigel, for this generous introduction. Actually, I don't want to add anything else after this introductory remarks. I will just say that I'm going to talk today about the part of my research which concerns music off the islands and in the Greek islands, but also music beyond the Greek islands. I would like to start with a short TV commercial. TV commercials, of course, work with repetition. Here we'll just see it once and I will try to describe what is going on according to me. So, in this fairly recent TV commercial of the Greek brand of beer, Mythos, we can watch in condensed form a stereotypical scenario of collective goodwill overcoming unexpected setbacks. In a mountain plateau, hundreds of people are dancing in a kind of local feast, but a sudden storm with heavy rain creates a transient sense of panic. Local musicians run away, one covering its head with his hood, something that would never happen in reality, I think. And the celebration seems to be over until somebody, a makeshift hero of the collectivity, clearly a visitor in the area, decides to intervene and, using a bottle of beer as a sound instrument, to reinvigorate the disturbed rhythm of the feast and initiate the dance once again. As we see the sun shining again and people dancing in a spiraling circle to the music of a popular folk tune, a young male voice contends over the image of two sweating ice-cold bottles of beer. Despite the mishap, we keep on going. This is our power. This is our myth. Mythos. The name of the beer, but also, of course, myth. The dance tune is called Ikariotikos, meaning from the island of Ikaria or off the island of Ikaria. And that gives to many of the details in this short spot a very special meaning, while it specifies the target group of the advertisement on the part of its creators. It explains why the feast represented does not feel exactly like a typical Greek local feast, but an alternative kind of the so-called traditional genre, with several post-hippie elements of fashion and attire, and several performance peculiarities which are easily recognizable by a young urban Greek audience. The place is supposed to be the island of Ikaria. It actually is the island of Ikaria in this spot, close to the east coast of the Aegean. And the way of doing things and reacting to the facts of life are supposed to be specifically Ikariot, or one could say even more authentically Ikariot than Ikaria itself, since the visitors are capable of recognizing, evaluating, and putting to good use all the crucial elements of traditional culture and attitude, the local knowledge which might be forgotten or underestimated by the locals in order to respond dynamically and creatively to an unexpected mishap, here a change of weather. It requires a very short step of the mind to see all this as a comment on the processes of recovery from the current economic, social and cultural crisis in Greece and Europe. The place where this ideal scenario takes place is a recent, but also quite old, but I won't get into that, is a recent summertime utopia made of land and dreams, people and fantasies, reality and imagination. The web of meanings woven around the signifier Ikaria in the last 3 to 4 decades consists of a rich and meandering rhetoric concerning an alternative and uncompromised, rather sui generis perception of time affluence and the relaxed way of living, an elaborate discourse about a place where slow tempos, cool rhythms, and a genuine conviviality are the norm, as opposed to the programming of life everywhere else, or the pre-arranged holiday experiences provided by tourist packages and the wider tourist industry around the world. This discourse, partly an indigenous construction and partly a deliberate product of the media and tourist industry, has served during the years both as a symbol of local identity and the visitor's apt fantasy for a unique summer experience, two sides of the same coin. It draws from a rich array of historical and geographical elements to create narrative and symbolic associations. It includes remoteness, isolation, and lack of enough land for cultivation, the dispersion of settlements in wide areas, the continuous threat of pirates in medieval times, a short period of independence in 1912, a longer period after the Second World War during which the island was used by the right-wing authoritarian Greek state as a place of exile for communists, a widely publicized high life expectancy, and much more. Both the people of Ikaria and visitors alike at some point in their lives will probably articulate and elaborate on at least some points of this discourse, its agents, ideas, relations, and actions. My talk will document and analyze some of the uses and transformations of Aegean island tunes in general and Ikariotikos in particular, both in terms of the cultural politics of place and belonging and the deterritorialized field of world music, relating stories of exchange, tension and opposition, mutuality and feedback between the local, the regional, the national and the global, tradition and modernity or postmodernity, the past, the present and the future of emplaced, displaced music recordings and performances. Ikariotikos will be used here as a starting point and a prism for viewing the different levels of the symbolic uses of local music and song in the Aegean Islands and beyond them. In one of the latest turns of our narrative, Ikaria will be eloquently and not unexpectedly, described as the Jamaica of Greece. This provisional closing of a circle was my motive to tell this story. Entering the dance. Ikariotikos is the name of a readily recognizable folk dance tune song, which today signifies an array of various versions, arrangements, transcriptions, orchestrations and remixes in many different styles, played, heard and danced in different contexts and venues, from summer local feasts to huge urban nightclubs. The tune has received nationwide popularity since its arrangement, performance and record release in the early 1980s by Yorgos Konitopoulos, a folk violin player composer from the island of Naxos, this is the other island that I will refer to a lot in my talk, in the Kyklades, and Yannis Parios, a singer of love ballads with national fame and island origin. The success of the Konitopoulos arranged version has instigated hot debates in the Aegean islands, especially the Kyklades, on the commercial manipulation and exploitation of folk tunes, and on the supposedly primeval quality of authentic local versions variations, which became a main concern of local cultural politics, raising wider issues over collective copyright on a village, island or regional level, and the uses of local heritage in the case of folk poetry, music and dance. Folk tunes and the Ikariotikos have further acquired the status of key symbols of belonging in processes of revitalizing tradition and reinvigorating local customs and rituals, which have characterized national public discourse and local cultural politics in Greece during the 80s and 90s. It was in that context that Icaria acquired a very special place in the national and tourist imagination of idealized local cultural niches. Listening to and dancing the Ikariotikos gradually became synonymous all over Greece, with a collaboration, the celebration of a distinctively Ikariot way of living, perceived as an exceptional experience of coolness and a relaxed mood. Ikariotikos has recently been played, arranged and adapted by several bands of various styles and aspirations. These bands draw from a rich gamut of music and cultural sources, mixing a wide variety of influences from local, folk, ethnic, pop and reggae to electronica, dub, rap and fusion. Early recordings are sampled and reused over dance beats, breaks and other sound sources. Tunes or rhythmic patterns are reproduced by musicians playing traditional or modern instruments and or using all kinds of electronic media. The use of Ikariotikos in these cases is layered with the rhetoric of localized cultural ideas as well as several other Mediterranean, Balkan and Oriental cultural elements and stereotypes and or nationalistic rhetoric to create new musical hybrids and cultural performances of a world music aesthetics. World music is anything but a simple descriptive term, of course. Far from being a neutral, all-encompassing definition of the creation, circulation and consumption of folk, ethnic, traditional or exotic other kinds of music, world is, according to Stephen Feld, and I have a small quote, a label of industrial origin that refers to an amalgamated global marketplace of sounds as ethnic commodities. Feld has given a critical spin to Murray Schafer's term schizophonia, originally referring to the splitting of sounds from their sources, to include wider processes where sound recordings move into long and short-term routes of circulation and patterns of consumption. These processes produce and sustain two rich and complex narratives, an anxious narrative focusing on inequalities and exploitation, and a celebratory narrative that sees musical hybridity and fusion as cultural signs of unbounded and deterritorialized identities. A celebration of freedom, equality, and anti-essentialism. Far from being contradictory perspectives, though, and this is the last quote from Feld, embedded in both anxious and celebratory narratives of world music is a fraught cultural politics of nostalgia, that is, each is deeply linked to the management of loss and renewal in the modern world. This is a quote from one of his latest papers on world music in the book of Bob White's Music and Globalization. But you can also see similar references from his earlier work. As we will see, there are important similarities and some interesting differences in the uses of sound as ethnic commodities in world music industry on the one hand, and the Greek case on the other. The commercial stake seems to be not so high in the Greek case, but there are some special ethnographic issues raised. The long and short-term routes of circulation involve families, villages, islands, regions, as well as the nation and virtual space, while cultural politics at all levels layer anxious and celebratory narratives and nostalgia with crucial issues of identity and belonging in the face of transformations in national and international, basically European Union, power relations and politics. I will start with some Aegean roots and then I will move to the web. One of the most successful commercial productions of the Greek dance electronica scene in the last decade was the release of the first CD of the band Paliria in 2004. And this is a very characteristic example of what we could describe as Greek world fusion. Since the musical sound material of the record consists of various tunes, melodies, rhythmic patterns, instruments and samples coming not from different parts of the world, but rather from various local musical expressions within Greece, as well as some elements from the wider Eastern Mediterranean and the Balkans. Mixed with typical rhythmic patterns and loops of an international dance electronica scene. One of its tracks, with a characteristically hybrid name and aesthetic, is Ikariotikos Dry Mix. Yet in this case there's a difference, contrary to all the other tracks of the record, because the composition of Ikariotikos Dry Mix is attributed to an individual composer. In the CD's lead notes we read, concerning the whole CD, conceived and arranged and produced by Palladia, except track number 5, Ikariotikos Dry Mix, composed by G. Komitopoulos, based on a traditional theme, English in original, in the CD. Inventing Tradition, the Island Songs. Yorgos Konitopoulos, the musician to whom the composition of the Ikariotikos Dry Mix is attributed, is considered to be the most prominent exponent of, one could even say that his name is identified with, the so-called Island Song, Nisiotiko Tragoudi, an invented local genre of traditional music which became extremely popular in the late 80s and early 90s all over Greece. The establishment of the Island Song genre was based on the release in 1982 of a double LP record named Τα Νησιώτικα, the Island Songs, by the Greek multinational record label Minos EMI. The Νησιώτικα owed their success partly to the popularity of a singer, Yannis Parios, whose origin and pseudonym reflected an island identity, and the characteristic violin sound and technique of Yorgos Konitopoulos, who was also the composer-arranger of the songs. Yorgos Konitopoulos, born in 1933 and died in 1991, is the most famous member of a well-known family of musicians from Naxos, a music family that has shaped the sound and the specific character of Nisiotiko Tragoudi by homogenizing different musical and poetic elements from the islands and producing an easily recognizable sound of mainly female singing and violin solos, the wide dissemination and success of which were based on its melodic line, on its appealing melodic line, and rhythmic elements that invited people to dance. Here you can see some sleeves of the records of the family. Konitopoulos has registered a trademark for his arrangements of most of the well-known island tunes, assuring a copyright over his creations, whether they were original or arrangements, transcriptions of songs from Naxos and other Aegean islands, based on the fact that copyright, according to both Greek and international law, refers to original, self-contained works by individual creators, while in the case of collective artistic expressions, copyright is attributed to individual arrangers. Copyrighting place, disputes over property rights on song in Naxos. So, now, here you can see other things from records of this tradition, in Tanisiotica, island songs. For some time we're moving to the Kyklades now and Naxos. Copywriting place. During the 90s, in the villages of Highland Naxos, local authorities, cultural associations, and other agents of collective representation and action were involved in hot and controversial debates over local culture and the demarcation of cultural boundaries. Central among them were the debates over copyright issues, the musical and the poetic heritage of the villages, taken as collective agents of authentic cultural production and performance. Some aspects of those controversial debates interpenetrated with wider and hot political issues of the period, like the various activities of migrants' cultural associations in the villages and the master plan promoted by the Greek government and the European Union concerning the unification of village communities as administrative units, I mean, in wider intercommunal municipalities. One of the things I had to explain again and again to my interlocutors during my long-term fieldwork in Naxos in the early 90s was why I had chosen the village of Philotti for my fieldwork instead of the nearby village of Apiranthos or Aperathu, which, according to the rich symbolic geography of the island, is identified with culture and tradition. Therefore, it is not a coincidence that the Konitopoulos family also claim some kind of origin, identification, or relationship with this important symbolic cradle, which was often met with sarcasm on the part of the Aperathites, the people of Apiranthos, the people of the village. The main idioms through which this relation was retrieved and expressed were kinship relations and family origin, on the one hand, and male friendship, on the other. On their part, Aperathites deeply disapproved all forms of claiming bonds to their village by members of the Konitopoulos family who are from a nearby village, Kinidaros, considering them to be nothing but an immoral attempt on the part of the Konitopoulos family to appropriate a rich repository of local tradition. In the local press of Apiranthos, newspapers and magazines published in Naxos and in Athens by migrants from the village, we would read those days many extremely sarcastic and enraged allegations against the thief or the master thief of the musical tradition of Apiranthos, either naming or implying Yorgos Konitopoulos. Those articles also included accusations by musicians with an origin from Apiranthos who contended that they are not permitted to make recordings of the songs of their own village if they would not agree to state that they are compositions by someone named Konitopoulos. The ongoing and unresolved dispute of Apiranthos as a collective agent with the Konitopoulos family was complemented in the early 90s with a similar dispute with another village, the village where I did my main research, Philotti, over collective cultural property rights. This dispute was triggered by the publication of an article titled The Traditional Song in Philotti Naxos in the first issue of the Journal of the Association of Philotites, people of Philotti, living in Athens. The article enraged the publisher and the regular contributors of the journal Taperathu, of the other island, of the other village, who commented on it, on its content, in an extremely sarcastic and provocative language, while they also invited the local scholars of Philotti to respond to the provocation. In their responses, Philotites were partly condescending, partly conciliatory, and partly sarcastic concerning the accusations of Aperathites that Philotites had stolen their songs and tunes. The dispute continued for some time, including implications concerning the local level, connecting the local level with crucial national and international controversies of the era. The theft of the songs at this particular, what they call the theft of the songs at this particular moment, was related by one of the Aperathites to the notorious theft of the Greek insignia by the so-called Skopians, that is the people of the Republic of Macedonia, that's a very common term in Greece for the people of the Republic of Macedonia, perhaps the hottest issue of Greek international politics in the 1990s. And the last part of this Aegean route, let's say, singing the Ioannis Kapodistrias master plan controversy. The opposition between the two villages is long, between Philotti and Apiranthos, deep-rooted, and it has been expressed in many different ways across time. By the end of the 90s, it was to take a new direction and acquire further strength. In 1997, public debate concerning the unification of local communities in wider intercommunal municipalities was coming to its end. This municipal unification program, a European Union project, was known as Ioannis Kapodistrias Master Plan in Greece, from the name of the first governor of Greece back in 1830. According to the specifications of this program, Naxos Island would be reorganized administratively in one, two, or three large municipalities. That would merge and substitute the old municipalities of the island, which were mainly based on village center administrative units. In Apeiranthos, as one could expect, there emerged a quite strong movement for the municipal autonomy of the village in the name of its cultural uniqueness. Collective copyright issues, along with other oppositions and controversies, were revitalized in the municipal unification debate. In her contribution to an anthropological debate on exploitable knowledge, organized by Marilyn Strathern, Manuela Carneiro da Cunha contends, "My point is that cultural appropriation debates are ways of dispossessed people to phrase claims for power. What is at stake is the authority to define, to represent, to keep, or to dispose of, in a word, for lack of a better word, agency." This is an article in a social anthropology journal, the Journal of the European Association of Social Anthropologists. In the case of the villages of Naxos, collective property claims over local poetry and music, tunes, do not represent demands for recognition of rights in a globalized market exploiting local cultural expressions. Cultural claims in this case, have neither an institutional nor a commercial character. But they constitute fields of contending and negotiating crucial local identities and boundaries in a changing world of national and international politics. They stand as powerfully idioms of belonging and emplacement. The symbolic emphasis in the village, or on the village in this case, manifests the primacy of this particular social and cultural unit in asserting political autonomy and collectivity in the face of a crucial reorganization of political representation and agency under conditions imposed by national and European Union policies. A village's collective copyright claims over persons, families, or other villages were reinforced when important identity boundaries were degraded, when the village as a unit of political administration and a social entity was weakened and multiply threatened. It is interesting that although on the level of administrative reorganization the views expressed were often quite conciliatory and pragmatic, on the level of cultural claims one would usually hear the most extreme and purist rhetoric. What happened in Ikaria and Ikariotiko, though? Disputes between the Kontopoulos family and Apeiranthos, or between Apeiranthos and Philoti, the villages, over property rights on music and song, offer a paradigmatic case, I believe, of the complex dynamics of collective identity construction and negotiation in the Kyklades and the Aegean during the 80s and 90s, in the face of the booming of island songs. The people of Ikaria faced similar dilemmas and proposed solutions that had to take into account both earlier local controversies and historical contingencies. The rapid tourist development of the island during that period had triggered elaborate processes of reassessing and reinventing local identity and island singularity or uniqueness. The island attracted tourists looking for an alternative destination away from the popular itineraries of summer vacations. The island's recent leftist history, being an exile place for communists, and the growing fame of late hours celebrating and never-ending feasts fueled the construction of unique cultural identity, which was worth discovering. The island also had its own dance that the visitors had shared or heard of, mainly through the Konitopoulos arrangement, though. In the beginning, they didn't know how to dance it properly, but little by little they were integrated in the local feasts, which gradually became huge tourist attractions. Local musicians in Ikaria used to play several different versions of Ikariotikos, or as they used to call it, Kariotiko. The local name and versions became symbols of authenticity and a reinvigorated sense of belonging, as opposed to the corrupted, diluted, and superficial arrangement of Konitopoulos. Although the popularity of the arranged tune had added to the popularity of the island and vice versa, A counter movement or refusing the legitimacy of the Konitopoulos version readily gained support in Caria. Next to the standardized Konitopoulos arrangement sung by Yannis Parios, different versions of real, or supposedly real, Ikariotiki or Kariotiki, the plural, were revitalized and given prominence in Ikariot feasts by local musicians and dancers. Along with the Konitopoulos Ikariotikos, which maintain its popularity in certain circles and contexts, music lovers, connoisseurs, and several tourists would now turn to older, slower, more sophisticated and deeper versions, which, or supposedly deeper versions, which gradually received more attention and became synonymous with the real feeling of an Ikariot way of life and ecstatic collective dancing and feasting. The presence of Kariotiko in local feasts in Ikaria was gradually well established. In the making of footage for the Mythos TV spot, mentioned in the introduction, the one we saw in the beginning, people danced the Kariotiko, played by local musicians, yet the Konitopoulos Ikariotikos finds its way to the final advertisement. Konitopoulos, person and the family, seems to win at this point on the national media arena. And I'm now moving to some web roots. By the time the Kariotiko started a new life as a tune sample in contemporary electronica dance music in the mid-2000s, two main versions, Konitopoulos standard arrangement and the revitalized local standard, were firmly established. Proponents of the authentic Kariotiko would definitively oppose the use of the term Kariotikos to refer to anything but the local standard, since the local versions came first, and therefore they are the real thing. In the light of argumentation proposed in this talk, I try to articulate a rather different perspective. Unraveling the role of Kariotikos as a symbol of local identity and belonging, but also trying to assess the dynamic transformations in the meaning of Ikaria and the Kariotikos, as well as their displaced developments in contemporary Greek cultural imagination. That's why I avoid to play these real or authentic versions, or even Konitopoulos version for you. I will play other ones. So, Ikariotikos is a really big hit in Greece, and all singers, musicians, playing all kinds of music at some point will probably perform it, from big stars to anything you can imagine, DJs and everything. I will give you some examples today of these transformations. And I will start with Paliria, I talked about at their first record earlier, which could also, their work could be described as Greek world fusion. In their first CD, released in 2004, the aforementioned band Paliria has made a kind of fusion of Greek traditional music elements along with elements taken from Eastern Mediterranean and Balkan musical traditions. A revitalized interest for traditional paradosiaki, in Greek, musiki, already had a history of two decades in urban Greece, especially among young people who learned to play older, often neglected instruments and studied music in Turkey, looking for a fresh approach to a kind of music, demotika. This could somehow be translated as popular, it's a very special term in Greece, demotika, that had fallen in disgrace, especially this term, during the years of the military dictatorship of 1967-1974, because this music was used by the regime a lot and promoted by the regime. So there was a period after that that popular music became fashionable among young Greeks after 1974, in the 80s. The so-called traditional paradosiaka, the new term that was used to describe this developing field of musical expertise, exerted important influence on different kinds of music making and reinvigorated discussions on national identity and culture during the years of metapolitευση, polity change, the post-1974 period of Greek political life. by introducing konitopoulos Ikariotikos to their electro-dub techno-traditional Greek music. This is the term they use. Palyria described their music as electro-dub techno-traditional Greek music. Palyria had unexpectedly reached the success they had probably never expected. In the words of a band member, Ikariotikos is one of these unbelievable circumstances when, while you may have spent 4 months working on the piece Kakavia Express, I would need a lot of time to explain what the title of this song means, you spend just 5 days to make Ikariotikos, which finally takes all the airplay, it's the English original they use, all the airplay of the record. It is also quite remarkable that beyond our mood as a band, the piece was so perfectly adapted to all this celebratory climate. The Olympic Games in Athens 2004, the live performances in the public squares of Athens, etc. I only went to a tennis match and I heard Ikariotikos twice inside OAKA, the Olympic Games Central Athletic Field. Let alone the fact that it was widely broadcasted by the radio stations. It has probably expressed 100% all this feeling, English in original, of the Greeks in that particular period. It would be interesting to see the reactions of people abroad when they play the record. They pay attention to every single piece except the Ikariotikos, which they just pass over since they are not so familiar to listening to it as we are. This mixture of global music elements with tunes, orchestrations and lyrics, which can only be recognized on the local level, a dry mix of or fusion of the most widely recognized characteristics with more culturally intimate ones, to use the term of Michael Hertzfeld's, is the idiosyncratic musical glocalization promoted by Palyria. In their more recent piece and video clip, Pyrovasia 12.08, they have collaborated with MC Yinka of Nigerian origin, one of the most prominent MCs of the Greek rap scene, to create a musical and visual pastiche of firewalking in the Greek religious healing cult of the Anastenaria, pagan ecstatic religion as social protest, and straight references to the dynamism of violent political demonstrations during the Greek crisis. That would be a very interesting video to see, but I don't want to use the time for this. In live performances of Ikariotiko by Palyria, MC Yinka wraps lyrics on Ikaria as an ideal place for celebrating, drinking and dancing until morning. Lokomondo, a flying carpet. Perhaps the most popular contemporary dance mix of Ikariotikos, along with Palyria's 2004 version, is that of Lokomondo, Crazy World, the most successful among Greek reggae bands. In their promotion video clip, this is Locomondo 2011, the first song performed presents a musical ideological manifesto. Instead of their versions of Kariotikos, I would like to play this for you. Island songs. I would also like you to listen to this change from my violin solo to Reggae Ride. The West and the East, Ailili, are weaving a carpet, so you can dance on it. Ailili, magic carpet. The magic carpet stands for the Eastern folktale element in an East-West fusion, where the West is interestingly represented by Jamaica and the Caribbean. After the song's Greek lyrics, there usually follows a change of music climate, with a rather straightforward quote from a famous island song, which finally turns reggae in an outbreak of globalized fantasy. And here they use English lyrics. I read them. In the Balkan they use it. In the Balkan they use it. Mix it up with Jamaican music. Try it once, don't you refuse it. Try it twice, don't you confuse it. In every way, and so on. According to the Locomondo's official site main page, the band fuses reggae, ska and Caribbean sounds with Greek traditional musical elements. This is a rather eloquent statement concerning the balance and the type of various influences in their music and performance. Musical sounds come from the Caribbean, while some secondary elements are Greek traditional. Further on we read, Locomondo is the most known reggae band in Greece, as well as the only Greek group that has recorded in Jamaica. The album they recorded in Jamaica contained two songs that meant to be great hits in Greece, but also attracted attention beyond the Greek borders. The first was a reggae cover of the rembetiko song Franco Siriani, composed in 1935 by the legendary Marcos Vambakakis. In the album We Wanna Dance and Gamilio Party, the band used a great variety of Greek traditional musical instruments such as bouzouki, baglama, violin, gaita, tsambouna, Greek bagpipe, what the Italians call zambona, kaval, santouri, Cretan lira and laoud, which gave the Caribbean sound a special Mediterranean touch. In a rather unexpected turn of this loco mondo, a jump to the Jamaica of Greece is celebrated in their live performances, as the singer of the band exclaims just before starting to play Karyotikos in a clip from one of their concerts, dedicated to the Jamaica of Greece, thus turning the Aegean to a Caribbean of the Mediterranean. In their recent official audio release, a version of local Karyotiko is preferred, while in other clips we find mixtures of Konitopoulos Karyotiko with Lambada. Something totally different now. DJ Padelis or Balkan nationalism. Thessaloniki-based DJ Pandelis, promoted as Balkan's most wanted DJ, I think this has at least two meanings, most wanted, made in 2006 a remix of Ikariotikos with Bulgarian Chalga, a folk pop genre that was developed and popularized in post-socialist Bulgaria. Featuring Chalga singer Theodora, and Bulgarian DJ Teddy Georgo, Opa, my Karyotiko video clip, abounds in images of sexual provocation, expensive cars, excessive nightclub entertainment, luxuriance and voluptuousness. DJ Pandelis remixes in 2000, the decade of 2000, were often based on popular musical elements from various Balkan countries, gangsta rap, and international house music to appeal to different nationalistic young audiences across the Balkans. His Ikariotikos remix triggered mostly offensive comments in YouTube.com on the origin, nationality and authenticity of music. You can really make a whole study of Balkan nationalism through their comments on these recordings in YouTube. I will just play part of it. Thank you. And here comes my final example of Andriana Babbali. It's a political ballad. Andriana Babbali, a singer of political ballads in general, and some other, not so much political, basically pop ballads, but there are some political aspects in her singing, recorded the CD of John John is Alive, in 2010, again for Minos EMI. It includes a song which uses, as its refrain, lyrics from Konitopoulos Ikariotikos. The song is also named after a very characteristic word from those lyrics, periplanomeno, wandering. The song addresses mainly in second person the migrants and refugees to Greece and Europe after long journeys and incredible dangers and adversities, being exploited by networks of traffickers only to find distrust and rejection when and if they finally manage to reach their promised shore. The Konitopoulos Ikariotikos lyrics come from a time when the experience of internal and international migration was a central and devastating issue in the life of persons and families of Greeks migrating from the countryside to the cities or to other countries. Parts of these lyrics: I am someone who is roaming for years and years like a wandering bird in solitude in a foreign place which I can't stand anymore. In this mixture of pop singing with some contemporary reverberations and the possible implicit reassessment of the political song tradition that flourished in Greece in the post-Junta era, as well as with a popular traditional song, an interesting hybrid is created which acquires its new range of signification through this series of meaningful juxtapositions. According to the lyricist of Periplanomeno, who wrote these words, Ikariotikos, which go counter to the dance steps? Someone lost somewhere in time, a Greek migrant in a foreign place, or someone burned by the migration of his own people. Then, coming to his own lyrics, they were lost and the water brought them up to here, stray, without any papers, with dry faces, the foreigners, and then us, opposite them. I was a foreigner as well, before I became boss, before I build and make myself up, before I learn to forget. I was a foreigner, but you are the foreigner now, and as you live next to me, you disturb my day. The stab, though, he continues, still comes from the opposition with the refrain of Ikariotikos, the Greek migrant who can't stand it, the foreign place, anymore, and the contemporary Greek property owner who can't stand them, the migrants, anymore in his territory. I come to my conclusion. In the musical documentary film Whose Is This Song, very well known, 2003, by Adela Piva, and in Donna Buchanan's introductory chapter to the volume she has edited on Balkan popular culture and the Ottoman Ecumen of 2007, tracing the ethnic, linguistic, religious and local life and transformations of a particular tune in Ottoman Balkan history and the present, becomes the vehicle for unraveling cultural, social and political osmosis and oppositions, historical contingencies, long-duration processes of mutuality and exchange, conflict and hatred, with the two authors giving different accents and emphasis in their presentations. In my talk, I have drawn inspiration from those and other works mentioned above in order to approach the life and transformations of a Greek folk island dance tune song over the last 3 to 4 decades. I have tried to explain that this journey should neither start nor end in the place of origin, the island of Icaria itself. I propose a narrative reconstruction of the social and cultural life and transformations of Ikariotikos that involved different places and levels of signification. Moving from the island songs of Konikopoulos to cultural property rights issues in the villages of Highland Naxos, from a discussion of naming Ikariotikos, Ikariotiko, Kariotiko, to the dynamics of belonging and the construction of a unique locality, from revitalized traditional music to reggae remixes and Balkan folk pop, from displaced imagination to localized desires, I have tried to show the wide range of issues and the complex processes involved in the life and transformations of a Greek popular dance tune of local claim, national fame and global fantasy. Although the various Kariotiki or Ikariotiki discussed here are involved in complex debates over authenticity, originality and hybridity, local and wider realities and fantasies, in the routes I have followed, I have tried to rather focus on the multiple levels and musical paths of irony, nostalgia and loss in contemporary music making, as well as on the perplexities created, sustained and negotiated by both anxious and celebratory uses and interpretations of traditional musics in new contexts of a changing and sharing cultural means. Thank you.